another episode of the Adeptus Ridiculous Podcast. My name is DK Diamantes. His name is Bricky. And oh, look at that. It's the end of the month, so Carioth is here. But before we get into that, if you want to support the podcast because you love these episodes so much, consider heading on over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get access to the Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you access to all of our posters in crispy HD digital format. Ooh, it's great. And apparently we have a new bonus poster.
Wait, really?
This is the first I am hearing of a new bonus poster.
I'm in Boston in a hotel room right now. Sorry if I sound funny. What's the new bonus poster?
I have literally no idea.
That's pretty good.
It's a Detective Ridiculous poster of D.B. Cooper.
It's just D.B. Cooper.
It's just D.B. Cooper.
It's literally just D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, he's just, yeah. That's great.
I mean, he's not around to complain about it, so. Or is he?
That we know of.
How do you know? He might be just living the good life.
Well, hot damn.
With his adjusted for inflation $2 million?
Is that how much it is, actually? That's like not as much as I thought it would be.
When it happened, I think it was like, I forget. God, that episode was a while ago.
I guess he just kind of robbed a plane. He didn't take over like the Bank of America or anything.
Yeah.
Hey, new poster. Yay. Well, by the time this episode is up, it will be live and purchasable over at orchid8.com. Link in the description. Right. Wahoo!
I like how they made sure not to have him wearing a tie because he left his tie in the plane.
Oh yeah, he did.
That's a nice little detail that he made sure not to put the tie on him because
That is a touch. That is a good touch.
Very nice. Very nice. And the shoot hasn't gone off yet because who knows? Maybe they never found one.
Yeah, maybe that shoot isn't going to go off.
Yeah, maybe he's.
Anyway,
what's the topic, Kyria?
Right.
Second time's the charm.
We're gonna do something a little bit different. We're not gonna do a quote this time. Instead, I'm gonna ask you,
Kyria. You're my god.
Yeah, we're gonna spring in with a very important, possibly very exposing question as to how your minds work, because you're both gonna have to answer. Probably not simultaneously, because that'll be a mess audio wise, but. Let's start, DK.
You
have a planet, your own world.
A full world.
Uh-huh. It could have started out however you like. You could have maybe had like some sort of forge world, maybe an agri world. You could have a pleasure world if you want. But you get to form that world into whatever you like. You can choose how the people live. You can choose what the scenery's like. You can do pretty much anything you want with that world. What do you do?
I do not deserve that power, my friend. I don't deserve that power.
You want it full of cat girls? Absolutely fine. Just, you know.
Oh, I'll definitely have a cat girl entourage, for sure. Honestly, I would probably have I guess it would be like a pseudo-pleasure world, but it'd be like a vacation planet. And I would try and make it as tropical and like island vibes as possible. I would essentially make it Planet Hawaii. Lots of coastal space. So it'd be like I'd probably terraform it. So lots of ocean, lots of like islands and stuff, and lots of big mountains and lots of good scenery. And you know, I would make a paradise planet, and the citizenry can just, you know, chill out with pina coladas and hula dancers.
That sounds incredibly wholesome and well-adjusted. So,
thank you.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Bricky, same question. Your own world. You can do whatever you like. What do you go for?
Death world.
Straight off the bat.
No, I'm kidding. I'd probably go something. I'd probably try to find a less hostile. Industrial hive world. I mean, granted, I would do like, okay, I'm picking a different answer because DK's answer is clearly the correct answer. It's the nice, lovely, good life world that I would want to be in. But I'm imagining, right? But I would imagine that this is my world. Therefore, I'm the planetary governor, and therefore the Imperium needs something from me, and my job is to provide them with some kind of tithe. And so I'm trying to take how can I have a good world for myself that's realistic in the world of 40K? And so I'd imagine it's some kind of export-based hive city, probably one of those planet-wide ones. But I'd hope that maybe the export is something that's less hazardous, perhaps like either medicine or some kind of like stimulant or drug. You know what? I want to be a recaf hive world. I am a coffee exporter, and I provide specific types of recaf that is not just delicious, nice, but also has other mental stimulating effects. And so those guards and regiments that get my recaf actually perform better in combat.
I actually love that answer. You have a coffee hive world, basically. That's a coffee great hive answer, world. Actually. I'm imagining like that answer a lot.
I'm imagining because I'm looking out the window into the harbor of Boston right here, and I'm like seeing how they're doing all the infrastructure in Seaport, and it's all like level 1 through 3 are shops and restaurants and all kinds of stuff, and everything, and levels 4 through 25 are leasing condos, apartments, living spaces, and I'm just imagining that consistently. You know, add in a little bit of religious zeal and add in a little bit of crime and bada bing, you know, you got a good Warhammer world right there. And so long as I have really good recath, I won't get murdered by the Inquisition.
That's true. And since it's just recath, it's not like you're going to be the target of like chaos. It's not like chaos is going to show up and be like, we must secure the recath, you know?
I don't think chaos much cares.
Yeah, exactly. So you wouldn't be a prime target, but you're still really important to the Imperium. That's a solid answer.
No, you're missing the point, DK. I don't think they care if I'm a prime target or not. I think they're going to kill me for the sake of it.
Oh, well, okay. That's actually also fair. Okay, that's actually, yeah. If they just stumble upon your planet, they don't care what your export is. They're just eating you and sending your soul. Right. Yeah, okay.
The Tau might not care, and thank God for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to be honest, those are both very wholesome, very sensible answers, and they would both be, I think, incredibly, incredibly useful in the 40K universe. Shy, I would make planet-sized Cleveland, where rivers are on fire, everyone has 20 felonies, and industry produces military-grade depression. You can check out at any time, but you can never leave. Okay.
Welcome! She's making Planet Hotel California! I get the reference, Shy. I get the reference.
It's actually a perfect answer, because today we're going to talk about demon worlds. Because funnily enough, when demon princes get hold of worlds, they don't do what either of you did. They tend to go a little bit left field with it, usually.
No way! You're telling me demon lords do demony things when they get control of a planet that they can form to their will?
Oh, sir,
they get
sir,
real weird with it.
Sir, let's not bunch every demon into one box. I'm sure some of them have a bit more fun. Oh, the plague planet. Never mind. Picture a planet Los Angeles.
No. That's more the Inland Empire. That's yeah, planet, not... i.e.
Yeah.
That's where all UK, of Los basically. Angeles's pollution goes. It just furrows down the mountains and then just...
that's Pittsburgh.
Oh, sure. Pittsburgh, too. Sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. We'll do Pittsburgh. Yeah. The rust bucket.
Yep. A little off the rails, but anyway.
I mean, look, the way the episode started, it was bound to happen. So we're going to talk about demon worlds, because there are some incredibly weird ones out there. And the best thing about them is that no two really are the same. So the way you get a demon world to begin with is to just take a normal, you know, functional planet. I mentioned like agri worlds and forge worlds and stuff because it can literally be any planet. And then you just ram it through a warp storm. That usually does the trick. So you end up with this fairly normal place that usually has citizens and people living there, and then they get hit with a warp storm, or they get stuck in a warp rift, at which point you've got all of the kind of real, tangible, like, world itself, like the physical universe, mixed with all the impossible nonsense that the warp brings. And fairly frequently, they stop being, like, bound by the laws of physics. You will have demon princes taking control of said world. Full wars will be fought between the four gods of chaos, like their followers, to see who gets control of said world, which, you know, is also incredibly bad for whoever happens to be living there at the time. So if you've just been minding your own business and your world gets caught in a warp rift, then you might suddenly find that what was previously quite a nice place to live is now massively overrun by all four gods' followers as they wage a massive, unending, bloody war to just make your life as miserable as, not even physically possible, as, like, miserable as physically impossible quite often.
Yeah, because it's...
As metaphorically possible.
But if your whole planet gets stuck in, like... Because it sounds like this is just like, oh, planet, oh, we accidentally shoved you through the warp. Wouldn't everybody kind of, like, die from that?
Define die, sir.
Well, like, when a ship goes into the warp to travel, like, if you're not protected by a Geller field, don't you just, like, melt?
Well, what depends on what the gods have in store for you.
It tends to be much worse than that.
So I know what you're thinking, DK. You're referencing the second Night Lord's book, where all the red corsairs on the outside of the ship, translate into the warp, and then warp waves just, like, tear them apart at a molecular level.
Yeah, and that one guy only survives because, you know...
Right, exactly. That one guy survives and turned into a possessed.
Well, yeah, because he was, like, literally possessed by Nurgle, right?
Well, that's the concept, like... It's the warp. Who goddamn knows what's going to happen to you? You might just disintegrate. You might get turned into a giant mass. You might become five. It's the warp, man.
Okay. I guess I figured, like, the warp was just like, yeah, you better not go in there unprotected because it's going to turn you inside out and play jump rope with your intestines while feeding them back to you or something.
I mean,
well, there is
that might happen too, but you know
that too. That or you end up, you know, staying in the warp for what feels like centuries and centuries, slowly starving to death, and then the ship somehow gets chucked out again, and it turns out that you've only been gone 30 seconds. All sorts of fun and incredibly not fun things can happen. But when it comes to an entire planet, there is actually an example of it. So there's a nice bit of information on a demon planet called Golia 7. Which technically I think is classed as a dead planet now, but for reasons that will become clear.
Painfully obvious, I'm sure.
Yeah. So they're heading for the Feast of the Emperor's Ascension. And at noon on that day, there is an issue with the entire planet skies where they become, like, blood red.
Oh, great.
3 days later, it starts raining blood. The planetary governor has no idea what's going on, tries to calm the population down, but of course the population is not going to calm down because it's literally raining blood
raining
on them.
Blood, yeah. It's slayers, right?
There's a council meeting, they try and work out what's happening, and they realize that the world is basically heading directly into a warp storm, or at least a warp storm is, like, the path is passing across the world itself. So then they demand to know why the astropaths haven't said anything to them, because this is something that they could have done with, you know, battening down the hatches on, getting things in place to stop the population from rioting and going insane. Mm-hmm.
Or depending on how cowardly your planetary governor is, getting on a ship and leaving.
Abandoned ship. Yeah, I was going to say, if they knew earlier, they probably all would have just left.
But there was no warning of it, so they went to find the astropaths because, weirdly, they were not at the meeting itself, which they should be, and they did find them. They found
their heads
them.
Exploded.
Oh, no, it's way worse than that. All the blood was drained from every orifice, It's very specific about that.
Ouch.
And their bodies were locked and, like, twisted in place, and they were still screaming. So they were not having a great time either. They weren't doing so well.
Yeah, so they are sometimes not having a good time.
Sometimes people forget that, like, while Korn might be blood, death, murder, Korn still does, like, weird warp stuff that might feel like possession and magic. Like, things like that. Like, just let's just drain all their blood.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, it's bad. Yes, watch her in the rain, Shy. So there's... It starts out rough, but it does get worse, so it's okay. The Planetary Defense Force is mobilized. They try and, you know, actually get this world defended from what could be an invasion when the warp storm hits. They don't really know what's coming. They just know that this is really, really bad. So they do fortifications. They just create miles and miles of siege works outside the major cities of the planet. And it is protected by literally millions and millions of soldiers. They have got like over 100, I think it's 180 or 150 million soldiers on that world in the Planetary Defense Force, you know, keeping it safe, in inverted commas. But nothing happens. It just continues to rain blood day after day. The soldiers dream of torture. They start to feel like pain and suffering. And so they start abandoning their posts, and then they start having to mass execute deserters because they just start leaving and they don't want anything to do with it. Fine. That's not even the third week. By the time you get to the third week, you've got huge like congregations of like prophets and people proclaiming like the end of the world, saying that the God Emperor has abandoned them. And has, like, damned them because they're all faithless. The people doing this were initially, it's like, okay, well, we need to leave these as much as we can, only send in, like, police and our bites to try and sort it out. But it was far too late for that. It then turned into just battles between, essentially, cultists that had started to rise up and the Planetary Defense Force just constantly fighting. Then, because the soldiers heard about it, they started manning the, they started leaving the trenches, which were now full of blood because it was raining blood for 3 weeks, and just abandoning their posts. So all the defensive lines were just completely empty.
Yikes.
At which point, the warp storm finally actually hits the planet. There's lightning splitting the sky. There's nightmares that join form and, like, just incorporate themselves into reality to start slaughtering things. A good number of the population are just driven mad instantly. Then the ones who go mad become like almost gods amongst men. So what they think of becomes reality. And then as the warp storm properly engulfs the planet, like fully, hundreds of millions of people just started to butcher each other in some sort of blood frenzied rage.
Oh, wow.
and then the ground just falls apart underneath them. Fountains of gore sweep out, just taking everyone away, the dead, the dying, the still alive. And the last person on the planet to die just heard laughing before they were killed as their sanity was got rid of. And then there was nothing left on the world. It was just gone. It was dead.
Damn. I thought you were going to say the last person became a demon prince because they were strong enough to survive.
I mean, that would be a fair guess, but sheesh.
Would have been a better fate, I think.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
That's no Planet Hawaii, that's for sure.
But that's so this is to look forward to if there's a warp storm engulfing your planet. So
holy jeez. The raining blood for 3 weeks was the good part. That was the nice bit. Calm before the storm, as it were. Yikes.
You know, yikes. It's kind of like, okay, so here's the thought process. Could they have actually even done anything?
There's no way, right?
Oh, certainly not. No.
Okay. I was like, they probably could have left. Like, this is planet-wide evacuation. And yeah, okay. How what was the time frame? You said like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it was basically in the span of a month. It went from a normal world to a dead world that briefly became a demon world as it started reacting to the warp and the people living there.
Yeah, and they don't even understand like what chaos is most of the time. So this probably really took them off guard.
Oh yeah, for these people, like it was probably just, oh yeah, this is hell. Like we've died and gone to hell. We're just gonna suffer, and yeah. Because, yeah, most of the regular citizenry don't know anything about the warp and chaos and anything outside of their little planet aside from, oh boy, the Emperor's great.
And the people you need to try and get assistance, as Shice pointed out, they're either dead or so insane they can't actually use their abilities to do anything.
True. To call for any sort of assistance. Yeah, the astropaths are still screaming about that whole being, you know, locked into place and having all the blood from every orifice pour out of their body.
Probably be better that you didn't try to help him, though, because I feel like if you try to shake an astropath, like, wake up, we need you, he would just blow your head off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably best to leave the astropath alone.
It'd go bad. It would definitely go bad. Possibly for both of them, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
But that could be classed as like a not too bad fate when it comes to demon worlds. That's one of the reasons I brought it up early, because it's horrific and everyone died.
But yeah, you're not alive to suffer, because in 40K there are fates way worse than death.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
It could actually be worse than that. So sometimes there'll be occasions where demon worlds are like in real space for enough time that they can be visited by agents of the Imperium. So like Inquisitors might be able to like land a party or examine a world. And that's where like in universe, where a lot of the kind of Imperium knowledge of them comes from. So there are some worlds that are just an absolute like just a cauldron of fighting, where it's just each chaos god has got followers who are attempting to take that world over for themselves. Or maybe the world is taken over kind of on like a cycle. So it might be that for a while it's taken over by Nurgle, and so it has certain almost symptoms of being taken over by Nurgle, like kind of lush gardens that emit poison where everyone on it is just permanently diseased or wasting away. But then it might be that somehow, either through war or through just influence, Khorne gains control of that world, at which point it's just one massive, like, gladiatorial combat sort of session going on.
Yeah, reflects the Chaos God that has control over it.
Yes, it's very dependent on which, like, facet of Chaos currently has a hold over that world. So there's things like, you know, Inquisitors getting groups together, being able to go and examine these worlds up close, of people being like hunted down by demons over terrain that just constantly changes. Issues with being attacked or, you know, confronted with the deep nightmares or worst fears that people might have, seeing family and loved ones die, no natural law, so things like floating mountains just being a thing, or rivers of blood or wine if it's a Slaanesh world. Loads of completely impossible and like improbable instances that shouldn't be a thing where this planet is if it's gone back into real space for a bit, but it's still kind of affected by whatever entity has control over it. Yes, one of the example ones of just how completely, I guess, nonsensical demon worlds can be, is there is a world called Oliensis, which is a planet, except it's not fully a planet. It's in the Eye of Terror, and it's actually just a massive, morbidly obese guy in the fetal
position.
Oh,
it's the big dude! I've heard about this a million times, but I've never actually seen it.
Wait, it's not actually a planet. It's just like a massive dude.
Yeah, it's just a big obese man who is in a fetal position and is the size of a planet. And noise marines live in his paws.
Yeah, this is a Slaanesh coated planet if I've ever seen one.
Oh, sure. Yes. Well, I guess to the max, right?
It could be Nurgle, I suppose, but you know.
Yeah, it could be. Well, if it was shooting out boils and disease and burping rot, yeah, it could be. Shy said it's your mom, Ricky. How are you gonna let me say that about your mom?
She just said it's your mom. There are three separate people here that comment could have gone towards.
Yeah, but I was assuming she was talking to you because my mom is a saint.
And you're telling me that my mom isn't?
No, I'm just assuming that Shy's being very mean to you. So, yeah.
There was an attempt, just for a moment, a temptation to say that mine's no longer with us, but that would be a lie, so I decided not to.
That's okay.
It's not just Olensis, though, because Olensis is it's really weird, really creepy, just a guy floating in space, but is also a planet, people living in the pores itself. It's not the only one.
How did that happen exactly? Just weird, Slaanesh. Warpy chaos Slaanesh stuff turned a dude into a... Do you need a special dude for that? Or is it just like, oh yeah, it's just some dude we need forever.
Make it sound like you need one specifically that can be inflated to the right size.
He's special, all right.
Where do you buy that from?
Like, I know chaos and the warp don't really have any, like... tangible rules or laws, like physics go right out the window, but like there's no like ritual or anything. It's just Slaanesh is like, yeah, this person, they just, you would like,
okay, I like to think the concept that this is the morbidly obese person, but like their head has stayed the same size, so it's somewhere on the planet, this tiny lump with
a
the face
head.
Just a normal size head. And the rest of them has just been increased. This, I mean, there is some fetish happening here.
You know, in old timey cartoons where you've got the tire pump and they put it in like the guy's mouth and they keep pumping it and pumping it and he turns into a balloon. I like to believe that that's how Slaanesh does it.
Now I'm on board. On board with that idea.
Like,
yeah,
the old timey cartoon one where they just keep inflating and inflating and then, you know.
Yeah,
see,
that works for me.
I'm imagining, like, much like how a demon prince is, you know, you do something crazy good for chaos, and then you become a demon prince, and then they reward you. I imagine this guy was like grade A worker, employee of the year, years over. You know, he was just this one guy that Slush was like, you know what, man, yeah, you know what, yeah. Like, he single-handedly took down a craft world or something.
I'm not sure how this is a reward,
I feel like this
though.
Isn't a reward. I feel like this is a punishment, isn't it?
It's hard to tell.
With Slaanesh, it's always hard to tell what's a punishment and what's a reward, right?
I think with all of them, that's kind of true, isn't it?
True, but with Slaanesh especially, because who knows what a Slaanesh worshipper would think was punishment or reward.
Yeah, okay. that's fair.
to go back a second, I remember this because this was a relic in 9th edition 40K called the Endless Grin. It is a fleshy mask of the still-living, flayed face of a man who begs Slaanesh to fulfill his wish to live forever. The Dark Prince was only too pleased to oblige, gifting the unfortunate soul immortality, but also forcing him to present his face to the Chaos Lord Sheiksei. After murdering the supplicant, Sheiksei wore the face as a prize reminder of the occasion for several centuries. The Endless Grin has since exchanged hands many times, but the potency of its anguish has never diminished.
Ah, chaos.
So, you know, whether it's a blessing or a curse is a great question.
Yeah.
Warp
you
shenanigans.
Just never know.
It's just like chaos.
Chaos shenanigans.
Lovable scamps. You ask for one thing, you sort
you get
of get
another.
It. In a horrific way. Yay.
The old monkey paw, right? Shai has a better story. He was some starving peasant on a hive world, and he wished he would be as fat as a planetary governor, and Slaanesh rewarded him with endless stomach, and he ate entire population of his planet and became planet-sized. Actually, I don't hate that explanation. I quite like
good.
That's a fair explanation. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds extremely like that would be an Ace Slaanesh Codex 100%.
Yeah, that definitely sounds very similar to what happened to the Endless Smile, right? He was like, "Oh boy, I want to live forever." And it's like, "Well, here's your wish." Chuckle, chuckle.
So, what other demon worlds do you got here? Cuz I know of two specifically. Actually, three.
There's a bunch. The thing is he's not the only like big lad in space. So when Shai mentioned him,
he's not the only big lad in space.
He's not the only one. There's also, I maybe could have phrased that a bit more.
Big lad in space.
There's also one called Pluvioris, which is kind of similar in that it's another kind of gigantic person floating around. However, this one doesn't have noise marines living in the pores. This one has people living on its surface. So he still has people actually living on him. And when Pluvioris dreams, it like writhes around in pleasure and pain. And the people who live on the surface are people who are effectively being punished for like only chasing their dreams. They then end up living on this planet that's actually, you know, a big lad in space. And whilst they're there, they've been cursed to live there. And while they're there, their imaginations kind of are kind of forced to run wild. And every time they imagine like a new fear or something that they are like horribly afraid of, that thing is birthed by the planet, crawls out of the nearest pore to the person who imagined the awful thing, and then goes and murders them.
Oh!
It's just the Stephen King It planet.
Pretty much.
You're right. Yeah, that is basically Stephen King's It, the planet.
They don't even get to die at the end of it because they crawl out of his mouth next night. So they get murdered by the thing they're scared of. Then they are themselves brought back to life to get murdered by a new thing that they're scared of all over again.
Oh, wow. Really? So even if they get killed on this planet, they just get rebirthed just so they can endlessly die again to stuff that they're afraid of?
Yes.
Would this be a Zinchian or a Slaaneshian coded planet? It feels Zinchian.
For me, it feels Zinchian, yeah. There's a few that are, like, not 100% on kind of which god it's currently controlled by. That is one of the ones where I wasn't 100% sure whilst I was looking at these. I just know that it was absolutely grim. I was just like, oh, dear God, that's
And people are sent to live on this planet as a punishment for, like, doing something bad or whatever, or just because, haha, this will be funny.
They've spent their entire lives chasing their dreams, but they have a lack of faith, which is quite a nebulous sort of description. It's from a White Dwarf article from while ago, I think. It was White Dwarf 282, which was quite a while.
Yeah, because I was going to say, there's no way you would choose to live on this planet or on this person.
So, oh, no. Yeah, no, I think none of them do.
It has to be a punishment. Yeah.
I think none of them do. As an example, just a place that you would never, ever want to be in any way, shape, or form. There is, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to put it in.
Okay.
So that I'm going to give it a go.
All right.
You tell me, why is it put that as an image? You tell me if you think I've got this right. Yarnak.
I would say Yarnak.
I think the H is silent. I'd say Yarnak.
I would have gone Yarnak.
Yarlik.
The garlic planet.
The garlic planet.
Close enough.
Yagernak.
I just quite like Yagoda.
Why did you sound like an anime character, like learning something new? It's like, no way, Yaganarak.
Yeah, that's like the way the dub says it. Like the anime's like Yarnak, and then the dub's like Yagernak. You know? Yeah.
Anyway, so what is this planet? Does it shit flies or something?
It's not. It's relatively it's relatively clean. Because it's not technically a world. It's a vast collection of like cages that are made from bronze bars that are permanently scorching hot. And inside every cage is a person. And that person is there because they've drunk someone else's blood. And if they were witnessed doing that by one of the Chaos Gods, they get to stay in one of the burning cages forever. And the only way that they can stop it from burning them is to put their own blood all over the bars.
Oh, so this is just the Brazen Bull.
It is the Brazen Bull, but in like actual planet size.
Some Brazen Bull shit.
That's strange, because you'd think a Chaos God would not care if someone was just drinking blood.
Also, it is kind of not a very Korn thing to like torment these people. That's not always like his shtick. Though I guess if he's just trying to get more blood.
Well, that's, yeah. But yeah, that's weird. It doesn't seem like most Chaos Gods would give a goddamn if they found one of their followers drinking blood. That seems like a very normal, chaosy thing to do.
Then again, it's also very chaos to encourage a thing and then just not reward you for it, or
and
to
then
openly
punish you
go
for said thing.
Yeah. On the other hand, no, like that feels very
fair.
Chaos.
Fair. Yeah, you're right. What was I thinking? I keep thinking there are laws and rules. It's chaos in the warp. Nope, all that shit is out the window. It's anybody's ball game. The rules change, the points are made up, and they don't matter.
The points change, the rules don't. There's no rules. The points change, and the people don't matter. Is probably the
yeah, something like that. Yeah, for some reason, I keep thinking there's some set of bylaws in chaos. There's not.
They don't.
I like Hoosla.
They're in it. They're in it for shits and giggles, and that's what they're going to go for every single time.
Speaking of shit, we got a Nurgle planet for us. We've done some good, like, of the other gods.
Mm. Oh yeah. Oh, there's let me find it, because there's a great Nurgle
so
planet.
Gross, isn't it? This is going to be awful. This is going to be like a literal planet that's just a floating hunk of shit or something.
I don't know why you'd assume that. So we can. I mean, there is. Plague Planet, which is hands down the least imaginatively named demon world, which
probably
is, of course,
the most accurately descriptive.
Oh, well, it is where Mortarion lives. So
it's
the homeworld of the Death Guard, and it is absolutely full of beast men for a start, but like diseased beast men that are covered in flies. And they absolutely love it. They love being diseased and covered in flies. And they have, like, full-on kind of, yeah, well, I think you'll find I've got three more diseases than you have. That sort of attitude to them. Other than that, it's actually not that crazy compared to some of them.
Yeah, that sounds like Nurgle Paradise. Like, if you have been corrupted by Nurgle, that sounds like paradise. It's like, oh yeah, we are just rotting in our own filth, we're covered in disease, and we love it, because we're Nurgle, and why wouldn't we love it? And hooray, at least, you know, we're not in bars that are tormenting us forever. We'd love to bathe in our own shit. So, yeah, if you're Nurgle, that sounds like Planet Hawaii.
I mean, they do have Nurgle, another Nurgle demon world does have a ring of people dancing around the equator. So there's like permanently a massive chain of humans that just sings and dances the whole time, praising Nurgle as they circle the planet. And as they go round and round, they get Nurgle's rot. which causes them to then turn into plague bearer demons, at which point the plague bearer then leaves to go and join Nurgle, and new humans take their place, which it sounds really jolly. Like, it genuinely sounds like they're having a whale of a time.
By comparison to what we've already heard, I'll take that over, infinite death at the thing that you're most scared of for all eternity, or being basically a brazen bull.
I mean, it is kind of Nurgle's thing, though, right? He's very jolly. I always remember that one story of I think it was Vrax or maybe the other one, where a great unclean one would run up and then just like projectile vomit into a crater left by artillery shells, and all the Nurglings would be like, "Yay, pool!" and then start like playing in it.
Oh yeah, and, yeah, a kiddie pool of vomit. Yeah,
yeah, and it's just like that's just Nurgle. That's just what he's about.
They're just having a great time. There is Anathrax as well, another Nurgle planet. That's a bit more weird, to be fair, because there's loads of like mushrooms and fungus all over the planet that are actually heads with kind of puffy eyes, and they just permanently cough and sneeze mucus all over the planet, and anyone who touches it immediately gets corrupted.
Ew.
So land some space marines on there, and if they touch it, they will most likely be corrupted and turned into a band of chaos space marines.
Well, that sucks, but still not as bad as all that other stuff.
It's not. Like, I really feel like Nurgle, when it comes to demon worlds, that it's not the worst. There are definitely worst ones to be on. And the disease factories of the plague planet. So there's just literal factories making diseases. Sprawling abominations of gurgling pipes, bubbling vats, belching smokestacks, and rusted cages cramming with test subjects and living ingredients.
Which is damn even Amazon warehouse. Yeah. Bezos is really expanding. Wow.
Who knew he was a fan of Nurgle all along?
Who knew? Who knew? I always thought it was Slaanesh with all that excess.
Again, it's still not the worst. I mean, there's a few that are just absolutely horrendous. Ikoria is another one. Ikoria is an interesting one because it doesn't rely on like out and out torture. There's still a bit of torture going on. It's still not great if you're a human, but Ikoria is made of glass and bone, and there are forests that are just covered in humans that have sold their souls to try and get like rich. So if they've kind of chased fortune at the expense of everything else, then they are kind of cursed to end up hanging in these glass forests. And every 999 days, one of them is returned to their normal life as if nothing had ever happened. However, they do remember their time on the demon world of Ikoria, and so eventually, usually in a matter of days, they go insane, which the demon prince who rules it finds really, really funny, and that's literally the only reason that he does it.
Because they can go free, and it's like, oh, hooray, I'm free, but their time on Ikoria just makes them go absolutely stir-crazy, and they die regardless.
Yes. Yeah, it's all about the false hope, and it's all about the idea to the rest of the captives on the demon world that one day I could be free, but then as soon as you're freed, you've got at least 999 days of agonizing torture just still in your memory.
I imagine the demon prince is like in this really big, like lazy boy recliner with like a nightcap and a thing of coffee, and he's just like watching the person who gets saved, and they slowly start screaming, and he just spits out his mashed potatoes like
So you said Ikoria is made of glass and bone?
Yep.
Is there a picture of that? Because that sounds like it'd be a dope looking planet.
I couldn't find one, but it does sound like one of the coolest ones.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a rockin' looking planet.
It also doesn't help that it's also a type of moth, which sort of interferes with Google image search results a little bit.
I said it's like her knees. All right, Grandma, back to bed.
I have glass bones and paper skin.
White dwarf and stuff, so.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be such a cool looking planet. Oh, well.
There is a nicer one that I'll bring up in a moment, but I think we're best to get one of the other worst ones out of the way first. Okay. So there is a lot on this demon world. Well, on a character related to the demon world. So there is a demon prince called Gargatuloth, which is
what a cool name.
it's quite the name. Zinchian demon prince, or master, or is it a thingy of change? A thingy of change. You know what I mean. One of those.
Is that the technical term too?
Greater demon. Sorry, not demon prince. Yeah, it's a technical term. A thingy of change.
The thingy of change. Yeah. It's my favorite.
Yeah, the named one is the thingies of change. It has two heads. Mm-hmm.
That's how you tell the difference. That's the way.
Thingies
that's
the have way you... the two heads. Yeah, exactly. Good call, Bricky.
Oh, it's been a long day. Right, so effectively, this greater demon of Tzeentch, Gargatuloth, I love saying that.
That's a great name.
It's a great name. Ended up claiming a world called Corian Nine. And on that world, Gargatuloth, he did something fairly hardcore, even by the standards of other demon worlds and 40K as a whole. Kind of had risen up a lot of cultists and prophets and the like, and they had been venerating like one of the incarnations of Gargatuloth and, you know, singing his praises, trying to draw more people in to worship Gargatuloth. Mm-hmm. And they wanted reward for this. They thought their reward, at least, would be eternal life, because that's, you know, something of a trend in all of this.
Silly boys.
It's never a good idea, is it? Mm-mm. And Gargatuloth is a greater thingy of his word and gave them eternal life by creating just impossible to count so many torture racks and crosses on which the followers were crucified and kept alive pretty much permanently.
Oh.
So they were all hung up, they were screaming, and a nice little kind of indication as to just how grim the whole thing is. Like the blood from their torture made the kind of space between real space and the warp thin, and eventually the Inquisition arrived to do something about Gargatuloth because he was becoming quite a problem.
Yeah.
And when they arrived in orbit around the planet, the screaming of the crucified people was so loud that they could hear it through their ships in orbit.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
It's
yeah. At that
bad.
Point, were they just like, you know what?
Nope. We're just gonna leave. We'll right. leave them to it. It's fine.
Yeah, Shia was like, I'm turning the ship around. It's like, yeah, you know what? We can hear their screams through the hull. Nope. This planet is forfeit. Exterminate us and let's get the fuck out of here.
That's definitely a we're leaving moment, right?
Of all we're leaving.
Yeah. We're leaving. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's I mean
Did they actually do anything about it, or did they actually just like, nope, fuck this shit, I'm out?
Oh, there was Grey Knights involved. They sorted it out. Technically, gotcha. It's now a dead world, not a demon world. So you can gather from that it went okay.
Yeah, now it's just a burn mark.
I mean, all the people on it, they didn't make it, but you know, the problem
I'm sure
as a whole.
I'm pretty happy about that, actually. You know, when they're the people didn't make it. Really? The eternal crucified guys didn't make it? No, tell me more.
They were fine with it in the end, though. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Turns out,
sure.
Real change of heart about the whole living forever when it's presented in that way. So there is also Kallax. So that's Fulgrim's world, which is it's named after the city on Kemos that Fulgrim was from, and that one actually sounds like a great place to be, kind of, because it's a pleasure planet, and it's all about the unending pleasure, except it is known as the Gardens of Hell. So you could argue that that's, you know, a little bit worrying on the face of it. It's also described as being not a real planet, and instead it's the shadow of a planet being cast on the light of a dying sun, which sounds hardcore and even more impossible than most chaos-based warp nonsense to me. I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool.
I was going to say, you said a bunch of words that I didn't quite, like, I know what these words mean, but when you put them together, it's like, what did you just say?
Like, I think it's but a it's, shadow it's chaos. Of a planet.
Like it doesn't need to make sense, right? There's it's no true. Laws. It's we true. We've been over this. There's no laws. Nothing applies. Physics right out the window. There's nothing off limits.
Yep. Just do what you like. It's chaos.
It's,
who cares?
It's a shadow cast on real space that you can live on. That's a sort of pleasure world. Okay.
Hey, Fulgrim. Maybe like, hey, man. I've come to you from the future, and like, I'm your bro. Don't pick up that sword. You're not going to like what happens.
Just leave it there. You don't need another sword. You've got a perfectly good one.
Yeah. You're like a Primarch. You are completely okay with just not picking up the sword.
Sound advice from future Fulgrim.
Oh, yeah. Fulgrim now spends most of his time recreating the old battles that unified his homeworld, fights them repeatedly, attempting different strategies in search of the perfect victory to rewrite his history. Sometimes he even allows the enemy to win. Just, you know, for a nice change.
It's yeah. Sort of, of course.
Which is ironic, because seeking that kind of level of perfection is basically just what Slash wants anyway, so...
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, very much falling into the same traps all over again, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But on that world, on Kallax, there is a couple of nice little details. So, constantly changing, because it's not really a real world. It's a shadow on a sun or something. So, might have oceans of blood, might have oceans of, specifically, pomegranate juice. So that's, you know, one day you could go for a nice drink by the beach, and it'll be awful. The next day, really tasty. Also, if you are a pilgrim and you end up there because you want to worship Fulgrim / Slaanesh, if you stop dancing, then you'll be torn apart by demons. So, just a note, if you don't like dancing, don't go.
I thought you were going to say if you stop dancing, like, you'd fall through the shadow and just land into the boiling sun or something, and you just boil alive.
That actually sounds really cool.
Right? Like, in order to be on the shadow that's cast over the sun, you have to dance and be merry, and if you stop, foomp, you're just right into the star.
If I'm not mistaken, there's actually a Slaanesh demon known as the Mask of Slaanesh that Slaanesh has forced to never-endingly dance for all eternity.
That sounds super familiar.
Yeah, that's an AOS thing, isn't it? The Mask of Slaanesh, or is that?
I think you can run it in both, basically. Yeah. I don't know why that happened to them. You know, let's look that up. It's Mask as in MASQUE.
Yes.
The Mask of Slaanesh was once a demonette who was held in the greatest esteem by Slaanesh. She danced for joy. Joy performance and et cetera, et cetera. Let's see. I don't know. I give up.
It was so quick. Oh.
It's long. I thought this was going to be like a one paragraph explanation one, but like, it was longer than I thought it was. And I'm like, I'm still in this hotel.
For whatever reason, you don't want to leave that in, Shai, please at least include it as a blooper. That would be just great. God. I give up. Whatever. This is too many lines to read.
I've got to stop taking like sips of water at the wrong moment. The number of times I've nearly died. That one really.
Almost got you.
Really hit me. Oh, God.
Shai says she has an explanation, but she's currently typing it, so we need to fill some dead time.
I think she basically was like mocked her a little bit. Oh, okay, here it is. Slaanesh was in a bad mood, and the mask wanted to improve their mood with a dance. And Slaanesh was like, "You are mocking me by Fortnite dancing on my depression. Dance forever."
Okay, no, is that real?
Yep.
Well,
that's about
not
right.
The Fortnite dancing.
As they watched the demonette dance her faultless dance, Slaanesh saw only a barbed jest at their expense, a subtle mockery aimed at their wounded pride. Bear no more and flew into a rage and laid a curse to condemn them to dance without eternity, unable to rest their limbs or take the merest pause.
Wow.
Jesus. Yep. So, I mean, there's being in a bad mood, and then there's that, isn't there? I would argue that something of an overreaction, you know?
It's like when the king, like the jester, is not doing a good enough job, and the king is like, off with their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is that really an overreaction for Slaanesh?
There's a bit of a parallel there with Fulgrim trying to do some sculpture and showing it to the really good sculpture guy who says, "Oh, it's too good. There aren't any flaws." And Fulgrim gets all sulky about it and decides that he doesn't like him anymore.
The really good sculpture guy, huh?
I forget
You're
his
really
name.
Really knocking it out the park with these.
Was that the worst? Like,
I was going to say, you could have just said he went to the really good sculptor, but
you're referring to the part in Fulgrim, the book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that bit. Oh yeah, sculptor. I forgot the name of the. Oh dear. Oh no.
Yes, the really good. I need to find me a really good sculpture guy that he might sculpt me a sculpture.
Even by my standards, I feel like the, like, not even the technical terms, just knowing English has not been great, which is a real shame because it's the only language that I can speak. So that's rough. That's really rough. Okay. this technically, we're going to do something kind of nice. We're going to talk about something that is, it's still technically kind of demon world-esque. It's more of a demon cluster. So there is something called the Rose Cluster, which was created by a greater demon of Tzeentch. Oh. And it's called the Rose Cluster because it is in the shape of a rose, like petals and everything. So suns, planets, all of it is organized into the shape of a rose. It's also pink. Just a nice colour of pink. And it's not just the cluster that is in the shape of a rose. Zooming into the cluster and looking at stars, looking at planets, every single star and every single planet is also in the shape of a rose. So an entire section of space with multiple stars, a ton of planets, tens of thousands, possibly, given that it's a full cluster, all made to look like a lovely pink rose, and everything inside is also made to look like a lovely pink rose. And I don't know what life is like on those planets, or even if there is any, but just from the outside, it might be the nicest thing that any demon of any chaos god has ever done.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like it's kind of rock star. That actually sounds like it's kind of a neat little cluster to be just like this, you know, galactic rose. That sounds great, but a part of me is worried because if it's even like all like pink hued, I'm like, well, how do you get that hue? That's probably a lot of blood.
Immediately goes to.
Probably. I mean, it's a chaos thing, right? Like,
to be fair,
demon world.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I mean, given how awful so many of them are, you kind of have to assume that probably something
probably blood
there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tzeentch, so it's, I mean, it could just be that everyone on there is it, like every person living in that cluster is also been turned into some sort of sentient rose, which is not the worst but also probably very boring.
Yeah. You're not thinking Tzeentchian enough. It's pink to make you think that it's blood. But then when you find out it's not blood, you worry it's Slaanesh, but then it's not Slaanesh, and Tzeentch just made it pink because he thinks it's funny.
Fair enough. I mean, that's some Zinchian mind games. So, you know.
It's just
a Rosetta Nebula in real life, which actually is quite a beautiful phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
You know what's a really fun demon world that I like a lot? Wormwood.
Wormwood?
Wormwood. Yeah, it's what Vashtor turned Caliban into.
Oh.
Yeah, Vashtor took
that one.
Took right. Caliban, turned it into a gigantic forest of demon gears and a various other like copper wiring and stuff, and just brought it back and was like, eat shit, Johnson. And it's great.
The actual quote, verbatim. Eat shit, Johnson.
That was what was written on the note he sent to him afterwards. It was just,
a
it was just
note.
That. Yeah.
It's funny because Vashdor is such like a melodical, mechanical kind of person, but he's not like a Bellicor who actually would, I feel like, canonically say "Eat shit, Johnson." But he's still a bit of a sassy man. He doesn't like these things.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's a demon world technically. Giant world of gears and forests of demon engines.
Definitely.
And Vashdor made it. Yeah.
You did not hear me drop my phone.
I actually didn't.
No, thank God.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say, if you hadn't said it, I wouldn't have known, but now we're all judging you because you said it.
The microphone isn't great. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, now I know you dropped it, and now I'm judging you harshly for being so goddamn clumsy.
If we're going to cut that out, can we cut out all the bits where I don't know what words are? Is that okay? Or would that be too much content to cut?
Oh my God, Yugi Yagarnak.
Yeah. Hey, you, we're getting the yarn hack.
How Joey is Wheeler, my beloved.
That than the word sculptor. Like, what happened? Anyway, so there
you
are.
You can't cut out 95% of the podcast. Fair play, Shy, fair play.
I can't even argue with it because it's true.
Don't worry, Kirioth. No one will notice that you got all that stuff wrong because I am the canonically dumb one. So everybody will concentrate on how stupid I am, and you'll be clear. Don't worry. You'll clear the allegations.
I'll just have to.
Man is not escaping the allegations.
No. The next one is going to be, I'm only going to have scripted responses, and that's going to be it.
We're not inviting you back, man. This is the gold of the podcast. Like, come on.
We're gonna pull an AI generated response from your voice here.
I was gonna say, if you're not having me back on, we can't have this as the last one. We can't have the one where I can't talk. That's the worst way to go out. That's my personal demon world. We can't be doing that.
So you have to come back. You have to keep coming back. You're stuck here. This is actually your demon world because you have to keep. This is the Stephen King planet world. You have to live on. Yeah.
So. Oh God, you need to keep coming back until you get an episode right, but that never happens.
you just keep getting rebirth. You know,
I keep crawling out of the big lad in space's mouth.
Little did you know that you were actually on, what was the dude's name again?
The obese man?
Pularvia or something? Or
Pluvioris, that's it.
Pulvioris, there you go. You remember that, but sculptor?
The idea of noise marines living in the man's pores just fucking throws me off.
Yeah, that's like, so crazy.
It's
when you think about how each individual pore is like the size of probably like a city, it's just so weird. It's
gross, yeah.
Yeah. Also,
what happens when that dude sweats? Yeah, yay! Yeah. Brain length! We share a brain cell! Wow, look at us!
He's so excited.
I'm not the only dumb one! Yes!
As if we hadn't established that like 35 minutes ago.
Fair enough. Yeah, what happens when he sweats? Or like, what happens if he bumps into something and he has to, like, he bleeds or something, you know? Or
I mean, the armor's got to be sealed against, like, against atmosphere. So maybe do they just relax in the pore like it's a giant hot tub?
What is atmosphere on a booth like, or like on like a world like that?
Does it even have atmosphere?
I mean, it's the warp. It's probably like air conditioned. They just decide what they want it to be, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're living on an obese guy the size of a planet. I don't think we need to be worrying about specifically sort of atmosphere there is.
Yeah, obese guy planet. I wonder how the physics of the atmosphere work on it.
Yeah, the GW guy that wrote this is just like listening to this and is like, I wonder how atmosphere works. And he's like smashing his face into the desk right now. Like, that's not the point.
That's not the point, you dipshits.
Having to order a new monitor from like the procurement department because he's punched it repeatedly.
Yeah. Peak Warhammer discussion. How does fat man in space atmosphere? Anyway, what else? Do we have anything else? Is there more?
We could easily be here for like another hour. There are a good number of human planets, but I feel like what's the atmosphere on the sweating ones, obese right? man is the best place to stop.
Fair play.
What do you think happens when he has like a rumbly in his tummy? Is it just like catastrophic earthquakes across the entire planet?
A rumbly in his tummy? Do you think sentient even? Like, or is he just like constantly asleep? Like, what even is this guy?
The core of the question? What even is this guy?
What is this guy? What is he?
Do you think if he goes through a warp storm, it's like his shower? It's like,
cleansing. Does he yes. eat? Like, what does he eat? Does he eat? Like, if he gets a rumbly in his tumbly, is it because he ate something bad? Like,
wait a minute. We're not asking the right questions here. What if the Tyranids invade this?
Oh, the biomass they could get from big guy in space.
Is he just like, can you just imagine? I feel like the dude would just get eaten alive by like a million bio-titan ships.
Oh, yeah. And they'd just have a feast.
They'd be like tiny little like piranhas, like chomping on his love handles.
Ew. that is oh god.
And then he would scream.
Wound and the blood that just flows out of that. Ugh.
But he would scream in pain, but because his head is the size of a normal head on the surface, it'd just be this very far away in the background.
Oh my god, please end the episode.
And curiosity, is there anything else, or should we call it?
That's I don't know how to recover from that. I feel like that's the point.
This has been everything I always want from a Curioth episode.
I just don't know whether that's a good thing or not anymore.
My face usually hurts after Curioth episodes, and I love that.
I just love the ingenuity, you know? It's like, you know, when we read Lion, Son of the Forest, and they had a giant moon of all the bones of the planet's population orbiting it, and it's just like, what a great, like, wow, that's diabolical. Good job, writers. And I'm thinking the same thing here. The brazen bull planet.
Yeah.
Here is your employee of the month placard. Here are some vouchers for therapy. Well done. We'll see you next week.
Is there a reason why all of the Mr. Workshop employees, subsector 5, number 14, is there a reason why all of the civilians on your demon planet were the names of your close family members?
No.
Here is, we offer therapy in our health insurance plan.
This is my therapy.
You cannot simply call a great unclean one dad. You need to go back and do something about this. You can't publish that.
Men will do literally anything besides go to therapy.
You cannot call this great unclean one dad.
What is there a reason you're modeling your great unclean one instead of the plague flail to have a belt and be hitting this Jesus plague bearer beneath him?
Oh god, all right, let's exit stage right.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye. I'll see you next week.